Amen. Well, take your Bibles this evening. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. We'll start out there. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little time to turn there. I'll give you just a couple things. This is my notes for tonight. That's it. It's going to be quick. At least an hour. No, Pastor already said I couldn't do that, so we can let it go. Amen. No, I'd like to start out and just tell the church thank you for praying for my wife. I know that several of you have been praying for my wife. We found out last year she got cancer and colon cancer, and it was just a long, drawn out year last year as to just all the things that go through your mind. And one thing that our pastor preached last year was that just kind of kept ringing in my mind is God can make the impossible possible. And so I'd hope that'd be your prayer too. God, make the impossible possible. God, make the impossible possible in our home. God, make the impossible possible with my child. God, make the impossible possible with, fill in the blank, amen. And God can do it. If anybody can do it, God can do it, amen. And so many times we put limitations on it and say, you know, God can't, but God can. And the only person that will allow the can't in your life is you, amen. But so I just thank you for that. We had a little scare here just this year and thought there was something there and found out. She went in, they took a biopsy, they said no cancer. So as of right now, cancer free. So we're praising the Lord, and makes preaching a little bit easier too. Amen. Amen. But real quick before I get started, I'd like to just give you just a few things about the Hewitt family since we've known them our whole lives. You ready for this? Y'all need some real good stuff on them, huh?
Wait a minute.
No, I will say we've been friends with Pastor and his family for years, and we started out as friends when we were youth leaders at the same time, and then we started planting churches and just friends during times of planting churches and things like that. It's just one thing after another. I mean, and I'll tell you this, is some of the closest friends that we've had in our lives were them. And they've made a huge impact in our family's life. And we love them. And we hope that you all love them too, because they're special people. And in their daughters too. I'm just kidding. And their daughters are sweet girls. And I'll tell you this one thing about their family, is if you're looking for a family to come and be the pastor of your church, I really don't know if I could pick a better one for you. And this is a good family, and I will just tell you this, you're blessed. You're blessed, because I will tell you this, is they, every one of in this family, love God with all their heart, and they want to do everything they can to see souls saved, lives changed, and they'll be here for you, and I promise that, and I know they do too. So give them the opportunity to be a service to you, and then also I'd encourage you as a church to learn how to serve them as your pastor. Because it's a two-way road. It makes it easier for your pastor to preach if you learn how to serve him and his family. Amen. And not just them serving you all the time. Amen. And I will tell you this. I have pastored. Oh. Oh, man. I just going to put that in the... I forgot what I was going to say. Speechless. Amen. Amen. But, yes. But First Kings, I'm going to just give you just a real quick rundown. I don't have much time, so we're going to take a couple, two, three chapters and slam it all into one message. And I've actually, this is kind of a six-part, seven-part message series that I kind of put together and just been praying. Pastor asked, he said, hey, we want to preach Wednesday night. And at first, to tell you the honest truth, some of the things I've been battling with in my life and things like that, it's just... I was just like, man, I'd rather listen to you preach. You know, can I just come in to preach? You listen to you preach. I can relax. That's why I'm here in Florida to relax. Amen. And then he says, you want to preach? And then I'm like, ah! And then they kind of stressed me out all the way up till today. And I'm like walking back and forth in the house. Like, I don't know what to do now. I'm like scared to death. I almost feel like it's my first time preaching again. My goodness. And I get nervous every time I preach. So. I don't know what's wrong with me, but just as God wants, God calls, God does certain things in certain people's life, and just hope that tonight will be a blessing to you. And I know that you came through a pretty awesome mission conference, and what the promise that came in. Let me just encourage you to keep on keeping on and allow God to use that, because what an I mean, there's not too many churches I've seen this size that can that do that kind of mission promise. And most of them I see at this size usually are around 20. He asked me, he said, what do you think it was? And what do you think the promise was? I was like, you know, church is about this size. And I was going higher. I just shot a little bit higher even. I said 25,000. He goes, oh. And he was all excited. And then he told us how much it was. I was like, man, that's awesome. So that was pretty awesome. So in 1 Kings, I want to give you just a little message. And I'm going to run through it really quick. So you listen fast. I'll talk fast. And we'll get through it as quick as possible. All right? In 1 Kings, it talks about Elijah. Now, there's two guys. Their names kind of go together hand in hand. His name is Elijah and Elisha. Good job. Y'all are amazing. I don't even have to preach now. I'm going to go sit down. But Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah, there's one particular time in his life. If you look at chapter number 18, it goes through a part in Elijah's life. He meets Ahab. He meets King Ahab. And King Ahab comes to him. He says, hey, you know, are you the one that's troubling Israel? And Elijah looks at him like, I'm the one troubling Israel? Have you met your wife? And he goes, well, you're the one that's troubling Israel. He said, well, here, let's do this. Elijah says, we're going to have a party. How many of you like parties? Now, I would love to be at this party. This has been an amazing party. He says, hey, we're going to have a party. He says, go get two bulls and bring them. Now, I got to run through this really quick. I've got to pay real close attention. Go get two bulls, bring them, and we're going to prepare a sacrifice. We're going to have a sacrifice. You call the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah says, I'm the only one here, and it's all me, just me, all me by myself. I'm Elijah, and I'll be the one on this side. So they said, you bring your bull, you put him on the altar, you call fire down from heaven from your God. He's like, okay. And so they bring in the prophets of Baal, 450. They're all running around, yelling, screaming, chanting, doing all these different things. And they start cutting themselves, throwing themselves on the altar. I mean, these are prophets of Baal, going to throw themselves on an altar that of a false god. And they're willing to get their own life for a false god. How many of us know the one true living God and aren't even willing to give our own life to Him? Amen. And so they do all this, and they're hoping fire comes down from heaven. Elijah's sitting back in the back, and he's probably like some of us. He's like, oh, maybe your God's on vacation. Yell a little louder. They're like, oh! They start yelling a little louder. He says, maybe he's sleeping. Yell a little louder. I mean, he's just kind of probing them a little bit, tormenting them a little bit. I'm like, yeah, this guy's just man after my own heart, amen? And so nothing happens. Elijah steps back. He says, all right. He says, pour a barrel of water on the altar. He gets this all built and prepared, puts 12 stones, builds it all up. He says, pour a barrel of water on the altar. He's like, all right. They pour a barrel of water on the altar. He says, do it twice. They pour it on there twice. He said, do it a third time. They pour a barrel of water, another barrel of water on the altar. And he digs a trench around the altar, pours down, it runs down into the trench. And he steps back and starts praying. 63-word prayer, just a 63-word prayer. Sometimes our prayers, we pray all day long, every day, and everything else, praise God for that. But sometimes God just is content with just a 63-word prayer. Sometimes, hey, pray without ceasing. Just pray. Amen. And here's God, and here's Elijah. Elijah steps back, and he begins to pray. 63 words later, fire comes down from heaven. Sucks up the stones, the sacrifice, and the fire comes down and just sucks up all the water in the trench. Boom! And they start rejoicing, praising God. And I wish I could just preach this message and this message alone, because I would get really excited and everything else. I mean, can you imagine? Some people get excited about going to a football game, stuff like that. Can you imagine if you saw this happen? Oh, man. I mean, it gets excited. I'd be like, yeah! And all the people are standing around, they're watching this all take place, and all of Israel, and they're watching this take place, and they start yelling out, the Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God! They're running around yelling this, screaming like, yeah! We just won. This is nothing, no match for a Super Bowl, World Series, or anything like that, amen? I mean, we're talking about God calling fire down from heaven. Done. How amazing is that? Elijah's there, and he sees it all take place. And then they take the prophets of Baal and slay them with a sword. And can you imagine if we just get rid of false prophets and false teachers and false preachers today, and we just slay them all with a sword? Don't put that in the video. But Elijah's there, and they slay him all with a sword. And he's like, man, God worked a miracle. God worked a victory. I mean, did a victory here, man. This is awesome. He's praising God. I mean, this is great. And in the very next chapter, if you look at the very next chapter, like I said, I don't have enough time to read it. Read a lot of this. But in the very next chapter, chapter number 19, here's Elijah. And Jezebel comes to Ahab. And Ahab tells Jezebel, this humble, submissive, wonderful woman that she is. Just kidding. Sarcastically speaking, there she is. The furthest thing from that. He comes and tells Jezebel all that Elijah did. And Elijah comes back. And Ahab looks at her, and he looks into her face. And I can just see this woman. She's mad. She goes, okay. So here's what's going to happen. The same thing that they did to the prophets of Baal is the same thing that's going to happen to Elijah. He's a dead man. Instead of Elijah getting all excited about what just happened, he hears what Jezebel said, and he gets scared. So him and his servant take off, and they're taking off, and they're heading out. So we're out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. Now look at chapter number 19. Chapter number 19, he goes from the people yelling out, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Chapter number 19. In verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now here's Elijah. He's so discouraged. He's like, man, what am I going to do? He leaves his servant there and travels, I mean, miles away from even where his servant is, and goes all by himself, alone, no one. Can I tell you one of the worst places you can be is by yourself? By yourself in the dark? By yourself at a computer? By yourself with someone else that you know you ought not be by yourself with? By yourself, just you, all by yourself. Elijah, being the spiritual man, the godly man, he gets to a place and he listens to what some woman said. In the chapter before, I mean, we're looking at a victory that, I mean, that is amazing, miraculous. Fire come down from heaven. And then, chapter 19, here's what she says, and he takes off running for his life. All by himself. I just got to get away from here. Verse number 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now, here's Elijah. Elijah gets to a point in his life where he gets so discouraged. I'm telling you, how many of you have ever been discouraged? Shame on you. God's people should never get discouraged. I mean, it's true, we shouldn't, but we do. Amen? We do. And you know, how many get to the point, have ever got to the point where it's just, you know what? I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. Life's too heavy. All this is too much. I'm done! And you've even contemplated suicide. Come on. Anybody here like that? He's like, I'm just ready for it to be over with. I'm done. I've dealt with a lot of young people. Just, I'm done. I'm done, Brother Franklin. I'm ready to just end it all. No. Hold on. Because young people, God's got more for you than you could possibly imagine. God's got a life for you that's greater than you could possibly imagine. You just got to be patient. You got to wait on the Lord. And not only that, you got to do your part. It's not easy. This Christian, a lot of people think, you know, being a Christian is easy. If it were easy, we'd have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people here tonight. But that's not the case. It's hard. It's hard to walk as a Christian. He said, preacher, it's hard to walk as a sinner. Well, yeah, because you're not walking with God. Amen. It's a whole lot easier walking as a Christian than it is to walk as a sinner. Because you get to walk with God. Now here's Elijah. Elijah's there and Eli goes down. Now just imagine. He lies underneath the juniper tree. He lies under the juniper tree. Gets a little bit of shade from this juniper tree. And he's there. He's like, man, you know what? I'm just ready to die. And God sends an angel. Look at the next verse. It says, and he lay as he slept under the juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Man, how amazing is that? God says, hey, you know what? I look at it a little different. He says, arise and eat. The angel touched him. You know, I mean, if it was me laying under the juniper tree, God would be like, boom, arise and eat! Because I wouldn't have heard him. He's, arise and eat? You know, I wouldn't have heard him. I mean, Elijah's probably a little different than I am. But he said, arise and eat. Elijah wakes up. He's like, whoa. He sees him over by the fire. There's a cake baking on the coals. And then there's a cruise of water just sitting by his head. He's like, man, this is amazing. He gets up. He eats the cake. He drinks the water. He goes and lays back down. He's like, man, this is great. And now I'm ready to die. I could die with a full stomach. Not real sure what he was thinking there, but he goes and lies back down. The angel comes again. He says, and he looked and beheld there was a keg baking on the coals and a cruse of water by his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. It's like there's a journey. The journey is too great for thee. Can I just tell you, the journey that God has for you, it's too great for you. You can't do it alone. You know, the journey that God has for you and Heritage Baptist Church right now is too great for all of you. If you try to do it all on your own and try to do it all by yourself, you won't have the outcome that you could have if God was with you. He said, arise and eat, because I got a journey that's too great for you. So he rises, gets up again. Now, stay with me. He gets up again, he eats, he drinks, and he goes on the journey of this for 40 days. He's off. He's taking this journey over to Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb is a place where Moses, too, was. And maybe they were at the same place. I don't know. Some people said that they were. Some people said they weren't. But maybe the same place as Moses. Moses there. You remember when Moses was standing there, and he put him in the cleft of the rock, and he says, that I may see you, that I may see God. And so God walks behind him, and he saw the backside of God, and he puts his hand over him and walks past that cleft of the rock area. Can you imagine seeing God? Moses saw God. Can you imagine seeing God? Hey, you know what? If you get saved, the best thing next to seeing God is getting saved, accepting Christ as your Savior. Boo! You just got a hold of God, amen. And now here's Elijah here, and he says, now with the journey that I have for you is too way too great. And he said, and he rose and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. Now I'm going quick, I'm going fast, because I'm going to slow down here just a little bit. But 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, God, you just told me to come here. But Elijah didn't answer that way. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Look what he says. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to slay it. So here's Elijah. God asked him this question not just once, but a couple of different times. And he answers the exact same way. I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I can just see this. He's saying this. He says, I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. And what he's saying, he's like, there's a burning within me that wants to serve you more than anything and more than anything else. And can I tell you something? When God gets a hold of your life and it burns within you, no matter how hard you want to walk away from it and you want to walk away from God, you can't. Because it burns within you. And that's what Elijah was saying here. He says, God, I know you. God, I love you. God, you are my everything. You are what makes the impossible possible. God, you are the miracle worker. God, and I mean, he just kept going and going. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I love. You live within me. You burn within me. Everything about me is you. I want you and nothing else. Elijah loved God more than life itself. Elijah's like, I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He said, more than anything, I want to tell people about you. More than anything, I want to preach your word. More than anything, I want people to come to you and they come to know you. And he says, it just seems like they've forsaken you. They've walked away from your word. They've walked away from your words, your commandments and everything. Does it not sound like where we're at today? He said, they walked away from you. They don't want anything to do with you anymore, God. I'm the only one left. They've been persecuting and killing and destroying. All of them. I just tell them, let's say if ISIS would move in and they would allow that to happen in America today, would you be one that would actually get killed? Or would you be one that would actually spit on the face of Jesus? Elijah says, no, I'm not that man. I'd rather die. Elijah's burning desire to serve God is Elijah's burning desire. He said, this is it, God. And I'm the only one left. And he asked him a couple different times, places him on the mountain, and he says, having a conversation with him. He says, now, and I'm going to just make a long story short, we're going to just skip down through, because there comes an earthquake, there comes a fire, and all these different things happen while he's on there. And then he comes in the still small voice. And sometimes that still small voice, when you're sitting in church, and God says, I want to use you. There's no way. So yeah. I want to use you. God, you don't understand. There's nothing special about this. Yeah, I understand that. But wait until I get a hold of it. Yeah. I just tell you something. You just finished a mission conference. And in the mission conference, it's easy to throw some money in an offering plate. For some, it's very hard. It's a lot easier to throw some money in an offering plate because you don't have to go to the mission field. You don't have to go to the church plant. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit and look out and preach to the people when some of the people don't even like you. Or they say ill will against you. I'm telling you, can I just tell you, being a pastor isn't one of the easiest things on the face of the earth. It's one of the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Now, let me just tell you this. As your pastor is here, the same encouragement you need, let me just encourage you to do the same thing. Encourage his family also. I watch Miss Jessica. She's walking through the church and just smiling on her face, talking to everybody. Hey, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. I was just like, man, God, help me to have that same smile. And sometimes Ms. Jessica, she needs that smile from you. Hey, it's so good to see you. Just want you to know it's a blessing and you're a blessing. Don't lie about it. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes I just want you to know you're a blessing. And sometimes to make that be that. No, let's go on. I was chasing a rabbit. Got that one. And let's jump down through here, and he comes up to Elijah, and he says this. Now, here's the passage that we really want to get to. I want to give you the latter part. That was just all introduction, all right? Verse number 14 says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He repeats himself, says it again. Verse number 15, he says, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And anoint Jehu, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abimaholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room, Elisha. And it shall come to pass that with Hold on, just lost my place. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. God comes to him and says, hey, Elijah, let me just tell you this. You're not all by yourself. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, to children's sacrifices, to just sick idol worship. He says, there's 7,000 that are still out there. He's like, get up. And he told him, he says, arise and eat. He said, get up. Get up. Can I just tell you something? Tonight, some of you that are here tonight, you just need to get up. But when Peter was in the boat, and just picture this, when Peter was in the boat and the storm was slamming around the boat and they were scared to death, they look out across there and they see Jesus. Jesus comes walking to them, and he didn't steal the water until Peter stepped out of the boat and stepped onto the water. For some of you, it's just time to step out of the boat and then let God steal the water. Amen. And here's Elijah. Elijah, God tells him three different times, arise and eat. Get up! Arise and eat. Get up! Arise and eat. Get up! Tell you, sometimes you have to come up to these young people and say, hey, buddy, you got to rise and eat. Get up! Get up! He says, hey, you got to get up. Get up! Get up! And sometimes you got to just encourage one another. Get up. And here's Elijah. Elijah says, Elijah's there, and God tells him, he says, now go anoint Jehu and go anoint Hazael. But he says, the one that really sticks out to me, for me, is Elisha. He says, go anoint Elisha, and he's going to take your place. Isn't that awesome? So let me just run through this really quick, because I want to read this, and then I'll give you the latter part of the message, and then we'll be totally done. He goes in, he tells him, he says, now go anoint Elisha. Verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and him and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the earth of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. What an awesome story. Amen. Now I want you to just kind of picture this. Now this is what I want you to picture. Brother John's going to represent the youth tonight. The young people. And I believe that one of the greatest things in our churches all across America, more than anything, what our churches need is to learn how to love one another. Because how will all men know that you are my disciples unless you have love one for another? Amen. Unless you have love one for another. Now here's Elijah. Elijah's there. He's going about, and he goes and he sees Elisha. He's like, whoa, here's Elisha. Elisha's out there. He's working with his oxen, his yoke of oxen. And I mean, he's a working man, not just some lazy young man, young teenager or something like that, that's just sitting there on his cell phone like, oh, man, just talking to my buddies here. This is really good. Just playing some video games. Like, man, this is really chill, you know. I mean, he's not like that. He found this young man. This young man's there, and he is there working with the yoke of oxen. Come on, man. Can I just agree? Teach your young people how to work. Teach your young people some discipline. Video games. Learn how to push them things aside. Cell phones. Learn how to push them things aside. Especially when you're at the table. I love preaching on the home. And I could go on with that for a long time. But we're not going to do that because we're almost out of time. So here comes Elijah. Elijah sees Elisha. He's like, man, he says, I'm going to take you, and you're going to follow me. And Elijah does something that really sticks out of my mind. Elijah comes along. He sees Elisha, and he casts his mantle on him. Can you fix that? He's representing young people. We bring up Hayden or brings up London or Landon. Landon, we bring up Landon, we do the same thing. But he casts his mantle. Man, pull yourself together. He casts his mantle on. And the picture of the mantle was the prophetic authority. The picture of the mantle was, hey, I'm not just coming to cast my mantle on you to show everybody how great of a prophet that I am. He cast his mantle on me in a symbol and to show him that I love you. And I'm going to give you everything that I am. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to teach you. I'm going to give myself, my desires, my everything. And you just follow me, you walk with me, you talk with me. Don't give up, don't quit. But I want you to take my place. Now, I don't know if he actually told him that. But he told him, he says, I love you. And this picture of casting his mantle on him was, I'm going to make you into the man that you need to be. Can I just tell you something? Tonight, what our churches need is some of the older people to come along and cast their mantle on some of these younger people. Well, preacher, I'm not even wearing a mantle. If I took my shirt off right now, it'd be really weird for everybody. But to cast their mantle, just figuratively speaking, and just to show how many of you would be at the place where you should be and where God wants you to be, enough to be able to cast your mantle on someone else. Elijah comes to a place where he's like, I'm ready to die. I'm done. I quit. And God says, no. He says, I want you to go find Elisha. A couple kings and everything else too. But I want you to go find Elisha. And I want you to cast your mantle on him. And he tells Elisha, he says, you know what? He says, we're going to walk together. You just follow me. He says, I'm going to teach you. He says, don't give up. He says, we're going to walk through this together. And no matter what happens, don't you give up. Don't you quit. Let's walk through this together. Because Elijah was told the same thing from God. He said, get up. Don't you quit. Get up. Eat. Get up. Come on. Let's go. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. And now Elijah comes along and he's like, okay, you just follow me. Now, if you look at Elijah and Elisha, and you fast forward just a little bit, all the things that Elijah did, Elisha's walking behind him and just showing, he gets to see all the miracles of Elijah. Come on, amen. He gets to see all that Elijah did. How awesome is that? And you know, if Elijah would have gave up and said, I'm just ready to die under the juniper tree, and God would have said, all right, I'll grant you that. There might never have been an Elisha. There might never have been an Landon. What's your name? Mm-hmm. Anthony? There might never be an Anthony. There might be a Landon and Anthony that we really don't want. But there may not be one like Elisha. Yeah. What's your name? Justin? Justin. Might never be a Justin or a Hayden. Destiny. You take these young people and say, you know what, preacher? All these young people, we're just praising God that they're here. If that's all that you do, you really haven't grasped the concept of what a church is. Come on, amen. And let me just encourage you to do this. When Elijah told Elisha to follow him, he told him and showed him how much he loved God. He told him and showed him how much I'm going to follow God. He never veered from it. He's like, you just follow me. And Elisha was like, I'll do it. And if you look at what Elisha did, he not only left his family. Man, praise God for that. A lot of Bible college students do that. Now, he didn't only left his family, but during that time, he went and he boiled the oxen and they ate them. He says, I'm getting rid of any way of even coming back. Because when I start this thing, I'm not coming back. Can you see that? And if Elijah would have gave up, what would we have today? So here's what I'd like you to do, encourage you to do, church. I want you to look around, and the representation that's taking place here, I want you to look around, and I want you to find the Elijah in your life. Pick one, pick three, pick five, pick them all. Because there's not very many right now. We heard one said, and tonight he said, hey, you know what? I was witnessing somebody and he got saved while we were playing video games. That's weird to me. But hey, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. And if these young people keep doing that, keep going the direction they're going, and just watch the young people come in, because somebody's going to have to take Elijah's spot. Come on, amen. Somebody's going to have to take Elijah's spot. And but hey, it might be his own son-in-law that come up and take his spot. It might be Landon that come up and take his spot. Say, hey, you know what, preacher? God wants me to preach. God wants me to follow you. Preacher, God wants me to just walk in your steps. Will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you train me? Maybe this young man right here, his wife just got saved. So you know what? That's what I need to be for my own children. Hey, that's what I need to be for these young people, but also for your own children. Dads, one of the best things you can do is be the Elijah for your Elishas. Amen. He said, I'm not a very good parent. Can I just encourage you to do something? Learn how to be. Because the most valuable things you have in your home is not what you have in it, other than your children. It's not what you drive. It's not what you have in your wallet or in your bank account. It's your children. Some of you, it's your grandchildren. That's your Elisha. Come on, amen. Now, if we fast forward just a little bit, here's Elijah and Elisha. Elijah casts his mantle. Elisha, he takes back his mantle, and he's wearing his mantle all the way up till the time that Elijah dies. Now we're gonna bring it to a close here. All the way up to the time that Elijah dies. Thank you. He's already helping me out. All the way up to the time that Elijah is taken from this earth. He's taken up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. And here's Elijah. Elijah's there and he says, hey, you know what? He comes up to him and says, they're in Bethel. And he says, hey, you just stay right here. You just stay here in Bethel. And I'm going to go ahead and go. And Elijah looks at Elijah and he says, no. He said, wherever you go, I'll go. And I will not leave you. Can you imagine? Elijah's like, yes, let's go. I mean, you may not tell him that. Like some old guys, they have a hard time just like, yeah, I love you, praise the Lord. You know? I don't know. But here's Elijah. And then they get to another place. Jericho. And they have all the other younger prophets there. They have the college, the Bible college. They all come up and they say, hey, you know what? Elijah the prophet, he's going to leave us today. He's like, you just want to stay here? He looks at them. He says, nah. I walked with this guy long enough. I'm not staying. You know what, church? Let's give them something to follow. Let's give them something that they want to follow. And they won't just walk away from. Come on, amen. When people see Heritage Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida, when they say we're here at that church, they love young people. They love each other. I mean, and you can be an Elijah to an Elisha that's only a couple years younger than you. And sometimes you can be an Elijah to an Elisha that's even older than you. And those prophets are telling him, hey, you just stay here. He's going to leave us. He says, I'm not staying here. They go to the Jordan. Elijah takes off his mantle. The water split. And while he's at the Jordan, there's a group of the younger prophets that were all standing around. They said, we're just going to stand afar off. And it says they stood afar off. And they stood off the way. But Elijah says, not me. I'm going with Elijah to the end. Come on. I'm going with Elijah to the end. Elijah walks over, and Elisha's right behind him, and they walk over the Jordan, and he's there, and then this whole thing begins to take place, and Elijah's taken up. And Elijah says, you know what? Is there anything you'd want me to do for you? And Elijah could have looked at him and said, man, if you can give me like $1 million, that'd be great. He didn't say that. He said, hey, is there anything that I can do for you that you want me to do? He looks at Elijah right in the eyes. He says, yeah. That a double portion of your spirit
would fall on me. And Elijah said, if you're here when I'm taken up, he said, it's yours. And he goes, and then sure enough, Elijah's taken up. He's taken out of here. And his mantle falls. Elisha goes over, picks it up, and he puts it on. He turns around, looks at the Jordan, and he has his mantle. Just as it did for Elijah, the water split. And the same thing happens for Elisha. And what a teacher. Amen. And can I encourage you, church? There's a lot of Elijah sitting here tonight. Will you be the Elijah that God wants you to be? Come on. These young people need it. They need an Elijah. Whether it be their parent, their grandparent, their pastor, their church family, they need all of us to be their Elijah. Amen. Come up beside them. Thank you. Come up beside them and say, you know what? I love you. I'm here. I'm going to cast my mantle on you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to help you in every way I possibly can. And young people, let me just tell you this, and I'll be all done. And young people, let me tell you this. In order for you to find Elijah in your life, you got to be willing also. You got to be willing to lay aside your cool self sometimes. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to be willing to lay aside who you are for somebody to come along and put their arm around you and say, hey guys, I just want you to know I love you. I'm going to help you no matter what. I'm going to help you. We can walk this together. Hey, don't give up right now. Because young people, you'll need that. You'll need that. Because being a teenager is hard. I've been there. Being a teenager is hard. I've worked with teenagers. You got to find an Elijah too. Find an Elijah that you love. Find an Elijah that you can trust. Get up along beside him and learn from him. Dear Lord, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you and praise for the opportunity we had to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray that tonight would just be a help and a blessing to someone else tonight. Lord, there's been a lot of Elishas in my life, and Lord, the opportunities that you've given me, Lord, I pray that there may be some more Elishas. And Lord, I pray that you help me to be the Elijah that I need to be. Lord, I pray that you help us to be the Elijah we need to be. And Lord, maybe simply tonight that you just come along the side and say, come on, get up. Get up. Get up. Right now is the time for you to stand up and be the Elijah that I want you to be. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, I love you. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray.